Okay, we're beginning here, 8 lines down on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph by the Shita of Reish Lakish. Just to review quickly where we are in the Gemara brought a Braita that began on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Bet, and the Braita seems to be internally inconsistent, which is that the first half of the Braita seems to be following the Shita of the Chachamim, which is that Hefker takes place even if one does not have another party that takes possession of it. Simply Hefker becomes Hefker immediately. Another half, the second half of the Braita, seems to indicate that the only time that Hefker takes effect is when the other individual takes possession of it, or possibly the individual himself omitted Hefker, that we spoke about yesterday, as to how it would be possible to have that person take possession of it, and then it also be deemed as Hefker. The Ran spoke about that yesterday. But the latter half of the Braita seems to be following the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. And the Gemara left off with that question, Reisha Rabbonan, Seifa Rabbi Yossi. The Reisha of the Braita seems to be following the Shita of Rabbonan, and the Seifa seems to be following the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. So the first answer given was that by Ula, Amar Ula, Seifa Nami Rabbonan Hi, that the latter half is also the Rabbonan Shita. Iachi Amayach Lo Zacha Ba Ben Hu Ben Acher. So then, why is it that you have to wait until he or someone else takes possession of it? And therefore he can retract the Hefker until that point of time. Shiny Shana Vishavua Dulo Shriche. By Shana and Shavua, they're not so shchiach, they're not so commonplace. And therefore, according to the Tosafot and the Rosh, this is really a Kinyan Garua, as they call it. It's not a real Kinyan. The fact that he did it for a limited duration already shows you that he wants to maintain a certain amount of ownership inside of the object. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, when it comes to Hefker like this, which is Hefker for a fixed duration, that Hefker will have the same din like Rabbi Yossi has by Hefker Olamit, which is that it will only leave your possession when someone else comes and takes it out of your possession. But without that, it will not be deemed or considered Hefker. And that's because of the nature of the Hefker that you have here. This Hefker for durations, but fixed durations has a din of a Kinyan Garua, as the Rosh and the Tosafot discuss over here. So that will answer now the way that the Braita can be reconciled, which is it's all authored by the Rabbonan. We have two dinim with regards to the Rabbonan. We have din number one, which is the regular din of Hefker Olamit, which is it becomes Hefker immediately, and you don't need any other acquisition or any party to take possession of it. It's Hefker, it's ownerless right away. And then you have the second half of the Braita, which is also the Shita of the Chachamim, which is that until someone takes possession of it, it will not be considered Hefker. And the reason being, because the din over here is a strange din of this fixed duration Hefker, and that has its own unique dinim, because it's shiny, it's different than the normal case. And therefore it actually has two ramifications. One ramification is that we say that it's not Hefker until someone takes possession of it. Also, we say that the window that was required in the first half of the Braita does not apply over here, because the Takanat Chachamim only applied to normal cases, not to cases that are strange, like a case like this. So because of that, the second case is now also altered by the Rabbanan, but because of its uniqueness, it has a different din than the first half of the Braita. So that's where we left off. Now we have Reish Lakish Amar. Reish Lakish tries the other way, which it says, Mid the Seifa Rabbi Yossi, Reish Nami Rabbi Yossi. Since the Seifa is authored by Rabbi Yossi, so too the Reisha is authored by Rabbi Yossi. So he says, not like Ula, who suggests that the entire Braita is the Rabbonon. He says just the opposite. The entire Braita is actually Rabbi Yossi. So now, if the entire Braita is Rabbi Yossi, then the Seifa makes sense, because the Seifa says it's not Hefker until someone takes possession of it, and that is Shita Rabbi Yossi. But what are you going to do with the first half of the Braita that suggests that it is Hefker after 3 days? So, first of all, what's the meaning of the 3 days? But even more importantly, why is something becoming Hefker if one does not have another party taking possession of the object? And so the Gemara answers over here, Bereisha einu taima, delot ishtkakach, torat hefker. The reason that the Reisha works like this is so that we don't forget that there's a din of hefker. In terms of delot ishtkakach, torat hefker, the concept or the idea is that according to Rabbi Yossi, if one only takes possession of hefker, or something only becomes hefker when another party enters in and takes it, then people will forget this din, or will not understand this din, that there's a difference between a matana, a gift, by which a person grants ownership from himself directly to another party, versus hefker, which according to Rabbi Yossi looks a lot like a matana, which is that it remains in the possession of the grantor until the recipient takes it. But despite that fact that it went from direct possession of the grantor to that of the recipient directly, nevertheless, it's still called hefker, because that's what he did. He made it into hefker, and that means that it was open to any party to grasp it or take it at that point in time. And so because of that, the transaction actually went through hefker, and there's a difference in the din. If it's a matana, it went directly, then it doesn't have the ptur of hefker. On the other hand, if it goes through this transition of hefker, even though the ownership always remained with the two parties and there's no ownerless state, nevertheless, since it went through the process of hefker, that deems it to be hefker malachically, and it would be patur min maaser. So in order for people to understand there's such a concept of hefker to Rabbi Yot, the Chachamim were gozer in this instance to have the hefker take effect. And so then the difference between the first case in the Braita and the second case of the Braita is what we said before, which is shchiach. That the first case in the Braita is a shchiach case, and therefore the Chachamim were gozer in that instance that din of hefker or shlotishtakach torat hefker, whereas in the second half of the Braita, which is a case of shchiach, the Chachamim weren't bothered to go ahead and make a gzeir of that sort, because it's just a case that is not shchiach. That's as Rashi formulated, Dein dakam shubnei adam lafkir lizman, v'kevin dezeh shina, v'kach chamru chachamim, t'lo havi hefker, lafkuya mimaser, kozman t'lo ati l'rishut zocheh. In that case, since this is an unusual case, the Chachamim established that it should not be hefker until it goes into the other person's possession. So the basic idea, or tachak tot hefker, is that the reason that the Chachamim put this in place, and as Rashi explains it here, min demaraita vada lo havi hefker, ad ati l'rishut zocheh. Min haTorah, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not hefker until it reaches the other party's hand. So then why did the Chachamim over here establish this? They're not trying to come and remove the chiyuv of truma maser, because min haTorah you are chayav over here. The lav hefkeru, because it's not hefker. Lo mafkeru rabbanu mitruma maser. The lav kok minei. Why would they take you away from a chiyuv truma maser? El kadesh shelo tishtakach torat hefker. The whole idea here is that people understand what the concept of hefker is. Mekom gane v'ishana v'shavua came to lo shchichi. Since they're not so common, ukmu rabbanan adoraita. The rabbanan left it at the doraita state. Here you have Rashi explaining this. The Rosh, the Ran also reiterate this idea. If we didn't have this concept of hefker mid rabbanan over here, people would not understand that there's a difference between a matana and a grant through hefker. And that difference will have ramifications halachically as to whether one is patur min amaser or not patur min amaser. Alright, so now the Gemara asks, Yehochi, afilu mi yom rishon nami lahavi hefker. If that's the case, even from day one, it should be hefker. Now from Rashi, it sounds like, and simply the Gemara would make sense in the flow of the Gemara, that this is a question of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, according to the sheet of Reish Lakish that we just saw, that establishes the whole Braita as Rabbi Yossi, please explain to me in the first case why, if you're making Gzeirah that people won't forget about hefker, why are you waiting 3 days for that to happen? Do it on day one. And then it would be just as effective, actually more effective, to show that it's hefker if you do it on day one. On the other hand, there are others who view the question being a question actually on the Chachamim. And the Chachamim, who earlier we said, Ulo, who said that the entire Braita is the Shita of the Chachamim, if the Chachamim, in that instance, say that something becomes hefker automatically, ownerless, immediately, without anyone else being Zocheh, what is this buffer of 3 days? Why do you need this buffer of 3 days? So that's what some say. And if you look actually in the Tosafot, and the Rosh explains something similar, although the Rosh has an interesting girsa in the end, that the Tosafot says actually both. It's a question both on Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. What is this 3-day window over here? Now, Amar answers, Amarabba mipnei haramayim, because of the thieves, tricksters or thieves, people who are trying to circumvent the halach over here, the mafkirin, that they make their stuff hefker, v'hadrin ba'on, and then they retract it or they take it back right away. So what they're trying to do is rid themselves of the chiyuv of a maser, so they make something hefker and they quickly take it back. And yesterday we discussed why that may not work, or what's the problem with that. The Rosh talked about the unevenness of that, because everybody knows you're chayv in tevel, Not everybody knows it's Hefker. So to make Hefker on the same level as the Chiyuv Tevel, you have to wait for 3 days. Then everybody knows it's Hefker, and everybody knows it was Tevel, and those two offset each other. As opposed to our Mishnah, the case of Mudar Hana'ah out in the field, where the guy is leaving him stuff and trying to give it to him, over there, both of those are not well known. The nether is not well known, and neither is the fact that this person was Mafkirit well known, and that's okay, because they're on the same level according to the Chachamim. Others suggested that within the first 3 days, if we made it Hefker, and people thought that was sufficient, then this whole game is basically giving it out and taking it back without really making it Hefker. And without really making it Hefker, then you're not Patur Min HaMasrot. So how did the Chachamim stop that problem? They said it's got to be out there for 3 days. Once it's out there for 3 days, you can't play games anymore because it's really got to be out there. And then there's a risk that someone else will take it and not you. And then it really is Hefker. And in that case, then we don't worry about you taking it back, because if you take it back, it's out there and exposed, and someone else could have taken it. That's too big a risk for someone to take in order to do this harama, in order to do this trick of making it hefker to get rid of the chiyuv maser, and they wouldn't do it unless they were serious about making it into hefker. So that's a way to determine whether a person is serious about the hefker or not serious, is to say that there's this 3-day threshold or waiting period. What happens during the 3-day waiting period is subject to machlokes rishonim that you saw yesterday. Tosafot suggested that, and the Ran says the same thing, that all the transactions are batel, that it's completely batel, and anything that happens during that period of time, it's null and void because it never left the possession of the grantor of the hefker. Now then, the Rosh brings alternate views as to maybe it works in some cases, in some cases it doesn't, and what exactly is the status in that interim state of 3 days. But post the 3 days, everybody agrees now that it's completely hefker, and a person can then, if they're zoche in it, be patur min hamaser. But the whole idea of this 3-day buffer is to get rid of these thieves, cheaters, tricksters, not have them do this in order to get out of the maser when they're not really being mafkir. And the idea or the concept being that if you're mafkir and you leave it out for 3 days and it's available to anybody to take it, that's called hefker. On the other hand, when you're mafkir something, there's only one person there, two people there, or you're going to grab it back, that's no longer called hefker, that's called a matana. Hefker involves opening it up to the public at large. Matana is where you have a directed type of gift. Yes, you're relinquishing your control, but in favor of another party. So over there, if you do it in a very quick manner, or you do it in a way that nobody knows about it, then that's not called hefker anymore. It becomes more like a matana than it does hefker. So to avoid that problem, we have this 3-day buffer. Now again, according to Rashi, the question was simply on Rabbi Yossi, if the whole takana here is a takana shlotishkakach tarat hefker, then why don't we have it lotishkakach hefker from day one? The answer is mipnei ramayin, because if we put it in place on day one, people will play games with this to become patur min hamaser. So what we did was we extended the period to 3 days, so people are not going to play around with this, and therefore when the takanat chachamim comes into effect, it's already after a duration of time that this stuff is out there, and people are not going to play games with that type of hefker. According to those that say it's a question on the Chachamim, we just explained that, why it would have been a question on the Chachamim, the 3-day window, when they think hefker happens immediately. And according to those that say it's both, the questions on both of them, then again, you just combine what we said and the questions on both parties over here. Now, the Gemara says, Aval Doraita lo havi hefker. But mi Doraita, it's not hefker. Now, there are two ways to read that. One is to read that as a statement, and that's the way the Rosh reads it. Rosh reads that as a statement, as a conclusion of Reish Lakish's statement. The Reish Lakish says that this is Rabbi Yossi, and the reason for it is Lo Tishtakach Torah Hefker, about Doraita Lo Havi Hefker. That's part of his statement. Doraita, it's not Hefker. This is all a Din Derabonon for Rabbi Yossi to Lo Tishtakach Torah Hefker. That's the way the Rosh reads the statement over here. Whereas according to the other Rishonim, the question, it's actually a bitmia. Aval doraita lo avi hefker? It's not hefker mi doraita. Who the question is on will actually have to do with the nature of the girsa over here. The way that we have the girsa over here, it's a question on Rabbi Yossi's position, and that would favor those that said until now the question was on Rabbi Yossi about the Yom Rishon, and therefore the questions continue on that sheet. Aval doraita lo avi hefker? According to Rabbi Yossi, it's not hefker mina Torah, or the other girsa, which is brought in the Rosh on the Yamud Bet, so the alternate girsa is actually Alve Midoraita Havi Efker. That Doraita is Efker. And that would be if it was the Shita of the Chachamim. Because if the Shita of the Chachamim, then it really is Hefker Midoraita. It's just that the Gzeiro de Rabbanan takes away the Hefker. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's the opposite way around. It's not Hefker Midoraita, but the Gzera de Rabbanan makes it into Hefker. So depending on who you think the question is on, then the Girsa over here would be relevant as to the continuation of that question. Because Aval Doraita Lavi Hefker makes it sound like this is a question on Rabbi Yossi. And it's a question on Rabbi Yossi, that means that the questions beforehand seemingly were on Rabbi Yossi as well, or the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, according to Reish Lakish's understanding. Then if you have the alternate Girsa, which is Aval Midoraita Avi Hefker, then the question's on the Chachamim. And the question's on the Chachamim, then the previous Gemara is also on the Chachamim. And according to those who suggest that it's on both of them, the question's both on Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, what the Girsa is over here would depend on how the Gemara is continuing. Is it continuing with Rabbi Yossi or continuing with the Rabbanon at this point? And we saw the Rosh Shita, which is the Rosh says that this is not even a question, it's a part of the statement of Reish Lakish, a continuation of the statement of Reish Lakish, which is giving the facts that according to Rabbi Yossi, it's just not Chayav Midoraita, it's only Chayav Midorabanan because of Lo Tishtaka Achtarat Hefker. The Rosh over here asks a very interesting question, which is that the Gemara answers Mipnei Ramayin. He says, Vakasha, Demayir Vikha Ramayin Vamashi Yafiru Alibid Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, what do the Ramayim gain if they make something Hefker? Alo min Torah Chayavin Laser. From the Torah, they're Chayav to take off Masrot. So, why would that help them at all?
Since after 3 days, a chamim put into effect shalot ishtakach toward hefker, and you can't back out of it.
Hefker beitin linyan mamon hefker. Beitin has the power to make something really into hefker, but hefker midoraito. And therefore, vazoche bohu shalot afilu kadesh botisha. Therefore, if someone takes possession of it, at that point, it becomes theirs fully. Hilkach patur minamaser legamrei. Therefore, it's actually patur min agmaser, even midoraita, the hefker gamuru. So once the Chachamim intervened into making it hefker, then the object became real hefker, and hefker midoraita. And that's why even according to Rabbi Yossi, the Ramayim could play a game here by being mafkir it, then they could technically take it back for themselves. Not be chuzer, because it can't be chuzer anymore, but when they acquire it again, they're acquiring it from hefker. And that's really going to be hefker, or deemed to be hefker deoraita, because after the Chachamim instituted its hefker, it now becomes hefker deoraita. Because the Chachamim have the power to be mafkir dvarim, hefker beitin hefker. In that capacity, they're able to make something into deoraita patur mina maaser. That's what the Rosh was just asking. The Rosh is asking, according to Rabbi Yossi, why do you care if it's day one or day three, if midoraita, it's not hefker at all? The answer is that if the Rabbanon intervened to make it into Hefker, then according to Rabbi Yossi, now it really becomes Hefker and Hefker Doraita. Now once you make it Hefker Doraita, Rabbi Yossi is faced with the same problem that the Chachamim have, which is now if the Chachamim intervened to make something Hefker, even though Doraita it's not Hefker, it is considered to be Hefker. And now if it's considered to be Hefker, you're Patur Menasrot. So what's going to happen? The Ramayim are going to enter here and do it on day one. They're going to be Mafkir it and then take it back. And through that institution of the Chachamim, they're going to make themselves patur mena maser. So therefore, the takana was to make it 3 days in order to prevent that type of behavior. So now, the Gemara's question is, aval doraita lo avi hefker. Mi doraita, it's not really hefker. How the Ran explains this, doesn't make so much sense to say according to Rabbi Yossi. And basically what your question is that according to Rabbi Yossi, mi na Torah, it's not hefker until the other person takes acquisition of it or takes possession of it. So if that's the case, after 3 days, the Chachamim intervened and made it into Hefker. And when they intervened to make it in Hefker, does it make sense that if the Torah says you're Chayav in Shumot Masrot, the Chachamim come along and make you Patur in Shumot Masrot? And that's the Gemara's question. Right? Alavi Hefker? Why would you do such a thing? It doesn't make sense to do such a thing in an instance where Midoraita, you're really Chayav in Shumot and Masrot. And so therefore, the Gemara is now asking, according to that Shita of Rabbi Yossi, it doesn't make so much sense. It really should be that the status of this should be, yes, hefker, that the Chachamim instituted something should be hefker over here, but only in the fact that you can't retract the gifting or the making it into hefker. That should be the only impact. But you should not be patur, mina trumot, and mina masrot. Because mi de oraita, you really are chayav in trumot and masrot. And therefore you're going to run into a problem, which is, because now you're going to run yourself into an issue, which is that you're going to start being mafresh from things that are chayav on things that are patur, and things that are patur on things that are chayav. And that's going to be generated because of this issue, which is that mido oraita, there is
a problem, and now you're changing it midrabanan. So Rashi actually formulates the question in one of two ways, and those two ways actually then other Rishonim take up one of those two positions. In the first explanation, Rashi says, Savara mafkir vadai midoraita avi hefker. That for sure, min haTorah, this is hefker. Hefker patur melefrushe minei, chumah umaser. Hefker is patur mechumot umasrot. Ela midrabananu dechayve lefrushe mipnei ramayim. And the only reason they made me chayav in chumot umasrot over here is because it's a din derabonon, that the chamim forced me to take off the chumot umasrot. So what's this guy gonna think? He's gonna think that he's chayav in these Trumot and Masrot Midrabanan. And since he is Chayav in Trumot and Masrot Midrabanan, he's then going to take off from these Trumot and Masrot Midrabanan and other items that are Chayav in Trumot and Masrot Midrabanan. And that's just not going to be true. Because over here, the item is not only Chayav be Truma Masrot Midrabanan, but it's actually going to be Chayav Midoraita. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, this thing never got to be Hefker, because nobody else took possession. If nobody else took possession of it, then it never became real Hefker. Now, why can't you take off Mina Chayav ala Patur, or Mina Patur ala Chayav? Rashi brings two reasons over here. One is because Nation Erika Pode Truma. One of the problems is that you actually looks like you're redeeming the Truma. Instead of taking off the object that's Chayav, you're taking off the object that's Patur. So basically what you're saying is that what you're taking off the patur is in lieu of what you should have taken off, that which is chayav, and it looks like you're trying to redeem chumot masrot, which is something that you can't do. The other problem might be, which is that if you're a mafrish, min patur ala chayav, or the other way around, min chayav ala patur, then you end up with giving chumot masrot to the kohen, which are not really chumot masrot. Okay, what's that big deal? The big deal is that chumot masrot are patur min achala, and they have other dinim that apply to them, the patur from other matnot, aniyim. And here, when the kohen gets it, it's really items that are chayav in these items. It's chayav in chala, it's chayav in all these other items, because of the fact that so these are really items that are not chayav in trumot and masrot. So those are one of the two problems that are created by taking off mina chayuv ala patur. But the first way that Rashi formulates it is that the individual is going to think that midoraita, it was hefker, and he's really patur, and he's only really chayav midrabanan over here, and not midoraita. And that's what's going to generate the problem, because he's going to be mafrish from dinei derabanan al dinei derabanan. Then based on that, the question is on the first 3 days, meaning that within the first 3 days of this takana, where Rabbi Yossi says that it doesn't work and the din derabanan does not kick in to make it hefker, which means that it remains at the din doraita, and therefore the din doraita is that nothing happens over here. So if the guy is chozerbo in the first 3 days, then it's not really hefker. And it's chayav and trumot and masrot min haTorah. And yet this guy thinks it's patur mi trumot and masrot, because he thinks it was hefker. And so that's going to run into a problem. Then the Rashi brings a lishna achrina. Im amart demikam veilech en yachol achzor bo. If you say after 3 days, he's unable to retract his hefker, demidarabanan havi hefker. That's only because midarabanan's hefker. Ava midoraita lo havi hefker. But min haTorah, it's not hefker. Hashnami hatiminei chuva. Dai mafkir savar afil midoraita avi hefker. So even though the din is that midoraita it's not hefker, the guy is going to think it is hefker midoraita. And if he thinks it's doraita hefker, he's going to think that it's patur min haTorah. And that's just not true. The only thing is it's patur maybe midrabanan. And according to the Ran, maybe not even patur at all. It's just that he can't retract it. But there people are going to make mistakes here about their understanding of how the takanat hachamim is functioning over here. So according to Rashi, with the question here is on Rabbi Yossi. And according to Rabbi Yossi, something is not hefker until another party takes possession of it. That means before the other party takes possession of it, then you can retract your hefker. You can take it back. So that means if within the 3 days you take it back, min haTorah, you were successful at taking it back and retracting your hefker. That means it never became hefker min haTorah. On the other hand, if you try to retract it after the 3 days, then min haTorah, you are successful at doing it, but midrabanan, they intervene to stop you from being able to do that. So now, the question is on which side, and that's what Rashi's two opinions are, on which side of the 3 days are you on? If you're before the 3 days expire, the guy's going to retract it, and not realizing that min haTorah, this doesn't function as hefker, because within the 3 days, when you retract it, it really works midoraita to retract it. And that means that midoraita, you are chayav in trumot o masrot over here. But this guy's gonna think, no, that I'm patur mi chumot masrot midoraita. It's the rabbona that made me give chumot masrot. That's the only reason I have to give it within the 3 days. So that's the mistake he's gonna make. Or, the Rashi says, the other possible mistake is that after the 3 days are up, you are gonna try to retract it, and you're not going to be able to retract it because the chachamim intervened and say you can't retract it. But midoraita, the truth is that you can retract it after those 3 days. So the truth is that you're only patur midrabanan on these Shmot Masrot. Midoraita, you are not patur on these Shmot Masrot because you retracted your hefker after the 3 day period. And this person is going to think that he's even patur midoraita. And that's the problem that's going to arise over here. This person is going to misunderstand how this works. Whether it's before the 3 days, he's going to misunderstand that midoraita, it's a retraction and it's not patur at all. Or he's going to misunderstand that after the 3 days, that his retraction is still successful, the oraita, and he's going to think that he's really patur midoraita. So that's how Rashi explains the two possible mistakes that an individual will make. And from that mistake will come out the churva that's being described here in the Gemara, that you'll take menechiyuv ala patur, mitur ala chayav. Right? So that's the way that Rashi explains it. The Ran favors the second explanation in Rashi. And I just said that the Ran actually believes that here Rashi talks about the fact that you are patur midrabanan in Trumot Masrot, but you're really chayav d'oraita in Trumot Masrot. The Ran even suggests that maybe you are chayav midrabanan in Trumot Masrot as well, that the takanah d'rabanan is simply that you can't retract the hefker. But beyond that, there is no takanah d'rabanan, it doesn't affect your Trumot Masrot at all. And you're going to be chayav in all of these in the Trumot Masrot. As the Ran explains over here, ubevadai shechayvua b'maser. They definitely made him chayev maser and chumot midrabanan, kevin de midoraita lo hefker. Because mina Torah, it's not hefker. Didn't he, even though shayu cholim the patro mishum hefker beit dinaya hefker, even though they had the ability, the chachamim, to actually make it patur mitchumot maserot mina Torah because of hefker beit din hefker, the way that the Rosh explained it, afilu achi lo bo chachamim lakel. Chachamim over here are not trying to make it easier on the guy. V'lif tor mina maser, mashu chayav bo mina Torah. Why would they come to take away something he's chayav mina Torah? And so they're going to make you chayav over here in that case to take off Trumot and Masrot. And again, the mistake will be after that 3 day period that he's going to think that he's patur midoraita. And either, according to the Ran, he's only chayav midrabanan in the Trumot and Masrot when he's really chayav midoraita in the Trumot and Masrot. According to Rashi, he's going to think that he is patur midrabanan and patur midoraita from the Trumot and Masrot. And that's what's going to cause the issue over here. The Rosh does ask a more simple question. He says, you know, given all that the Chachamim are mitakein over here, he says, why doesn't the Gemara ask this question? Why don't we worry about the fact that this guy's just going to eat it without taking off Trumot and Masrot whatsoever? The guy's going to think it's Hefker. That's what the Chachamim told him to think. They told him to think it's Hefker, and that's what he's going to think. And then he's not going to take off Trumot and Masrot at all. The Teretz Rabbeinu Netano. That's not such a big question. Even though they're nichse hefker, and technically they are patur mitrumot masrot, it's no different than leket shechalpeya, some goren. If you make them into a goren, that makes them chayav and maser, at least midrabanan. Mistamo se goren, mitam ze midrabanan. So the Rosh says that nobody's going to come to the conclusion that you're completely patur from trumot masrot, because you're going to go through the process of putting them into a goren. And everybody knows if you put them into a goren, then at minimum you're chayav midrabanan in trumot and masrot. So he says that's a minimal. People are going to figure out that you're chayav midrabanan in trumot and masrot. Unlike what Rashi says here, that you could be patur legamre. But like the Ran suggests over here, that you would be chayav in trumot and masrot, at least midrabanan. And if you're chayav midrabanan, the person's going to think that it's only a chiyuv d'rabanan, and they're going to mistake the fact that it's also a chiyuv d'oraita. And again, even though technically the chachamim could have exempted him midoraita, the Ran says they didn't want to do that because they're not trying to help people out here and get them patur from their trumot masrot. They're just trying to indicate that there's a din of hefker and how hefker works. Shloti shtak achtar hefker. But they're not coming to make people patur from trumot masrot. And therefore they didn't invoke the principle of hefker beit din hefker. Unlike what the Rosh said before, that possibly you could have Hefker Beit Din Hefker be poter the individual completely over here. And it seems like the Rosh also follows the Shita of the Ran over here. The other possibilities are the Tosfot over here brings from the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam. Over here, the Tosfot says that the Gemara's question over here of Dumatili Sure Minachiyuvala Patur, the way Rashi's reading, it's a question on Rabbi Yossi. The way that Tosfot reads it, it's actually a question, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a question on Ula's explanation of the Rabbanan.
And this is based on the Girsa and the Gemara that asked the question, Avador, right? The Havi Hefker? Isn't this Hefker Minatora? How is it that we are making you chayav in Trumot and Masrot over here? And the chashash is just the opposite, which is that you're going to think that you're really chayav mina Torah in Trumot and Masrot, but in the Chachamim Shita, you're really only chayav in Trumot and Masrot over here midrabanan. And that's the mistake you're going to make. In the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, there is no such mistake like that because you really are chayav mina Torah in Trumot and Masrot. So over there, when you think you're chayav mina Torah, you'll be fine. But by the Chachamim, if you think you're chayav min Torah and not midrabanan, then you're going to be mafrish as if you think it's a Torah mandated Trumot Masrot, when it's only rabbinically mandated Trumot Masrot, and that's going to lead you to take off min achiyuv ala patur, min patur ala achiyuv, which will generate the problems that we had discussed beforehand. And then he brings alvel peshari parach l'tervayu.
According to the Reed, they're asking on both. They're asking both on Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. If we're instituting these gezerot or these takanot, you're going to run yourself into problems of people thinking that it's chayav or patur midoraita midorabanan, and therefore you're going to mix yourselves up and cause yourselves problems over here. The Gemara answers, Damrinan le ki masrat aser mine ube. When we tell the individual to take off maser from this item, we tell him to take it off internally. I mean that the Chachamim, as part of their takana, say that when you're mafrish trumot to masrot over here, don't be mafrish these trumot to masrot like you generally do, like you do in other instances, where you can take it off from items that are min mukaf that are nearby, or from other items that are also chayavim. We want you only to take off trumot to masrot from this object itself, for itself. And that will prevent this issue of having min achiyuv ala patur, min patur ala achiyuv, depending on how we explained it until now, whether it's referencing Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbanan, or both of them, then this would answer that question, which is these takanot will be in place and not cause these problems because the Chachamim, as part of the takana, said, only take off the Trumot and Masrot mine uve, from it itself. So now the Gemara says, Meitave. Hamafkir et karmo, person who made his vineyard hefker, uleshachar amad, he gets up in the morning, ubatzro, and he goes ahead and now he harvests the grapes off of his kerem, off of his vineyard. Now, why would he do such a thing? Because now he is being zocha min hafker. And since he be zocha min hafker, when he goes out in bitzaro, he's chayav biprat, ubeololot, ubeshicha upe'ah, he's chayav in all of these matanot in him, upator min amaser, but he is patur min amaser because seemingly he acquired it from hafker, and acquiring it from hafker gets rid of the chiyuv of maaser. Now, why there's a difference between prat, ololot, Shechacha and Pe'ah, which are also matnotinim, which are pturim, when a person makes them hefker. So how come in this case, only the maser is patur and not the other items? That has to do with the nature of the hefker. The truth is, if it was complete hefker and a third party took possession of it, ain't ochanami, they'd be patur from all of the matnotinim, prat, ololot, shechacha, Pe'ah, and maser. Any case where the ani has an equal footing with you in the item, then there is no matnot aniyim. So for instance, in Shvit, there are no matnot aniyim because of the fact that the ani has an equal footing with you in these items. And so because of that, there is no matnot aniyim. Same thing with hefker. If you're mafkir at legamre and a third party takes possession of it, that type of hefker is a hefker that made the ani on an equal footing with you because he could have taken it just like you could have taken it. Once that happens, then you're patur from all these matnot aniyim. In this case, what happened was that the original owner repossessed it. So when the original owner repossesses it, in terms of maser, that's hefker, and that hefker that it went through in the interim stages is good enough to make you patur min masrot. On the other hand, the Gemara in Babo Kamo tells us that with regards to prat, ololot, shechan, peyah, there's a call, the Gemara says, tazov yitera. The Torah writes the word tazov more than once over there, and that extra tazov comes to teach you that even in instances where you're mafkirit, if you repossess it, you're chayav in these matanot aniyim. So there's a special riboy that makes you chayav in these matanot aniyim when you repossess something that you made into hefker. And that'll be the difference between the din of maser and the din of prat ololot shechan peya. Now that's not what the Gemara is after over here. The Gemara is after over here the fact that you're patur min a maser. So the Gemara says bishlam olu ula. According to ula, the rabbanon ktanila. The rabbanon authored this brayta, the oraita ktanila, and it's mina Torah. Now there's an underlying assumption in the Gemara and Tosafot states this and says v'kasavar dahad tani hach brayta hamafkir sadeu tani brayta hamafkir karmo irabbanon irabiosi. Gemara's assumption is whoever's the author of this brayta is similarly the author of the previous brayta that we brought about a mafkirat sadehu. So we had a mafkirat sadehu, and now we have mafkirat kormo. Those two brayta of the Gemara now assumes must be authored by the same party. So Gemara says, according to Ula, who established that the previous brayta of a mafkir sadehu was authored by the Rabbanan, then this brayta is also authored by the Rabbanan, and that's not problematic, because this brayta is written at a doraita level, the previous brayta is written at the derabbanan level. So midoraita, the chachamim say that once you are mafkir something, it becomes ownerless, and it becomes patur min hamaser. And that's what our brayta over here is describing. Mafkir et karmo, l'shachar amad u'bitzaro, chayav. In these items, but patur min hamaser, because he did go through hefker. And if he went through hefker, according to the chachamim, that's good enough in the Torah to be poter you from tumot and masrot. On the other hand, the brayta of a mafkir tzadehu says you have to wait 3 days. If you didn't wait 3 days, then it's not good enough hefker. He only waited 1 day. Well, that's the din derabbanan because of the ramayim. So that brayta was talking about the din derabbanan because of the ramayim. This brayta is talking about the din doraita, but at least I can reconcile it within the shita of the rabbanan. And that's what the Gemara said here. Bishlam le'ula derabbanan ktanila v'doraita ktanila. It was authored by the rabbanan at the Torah level. That's what this brayta is. Ela Reish Lakish, amai patur min hamaser. According to Reish Lakish, who establishes that Rabbi Yossi is the author of the brayta before, how can Rabbi Yossi be the author of the brayta over here and make him patur min hamaser? There's no case in which Rabbi Yossi thinks you're patur min hamaser, at least in the brayta we saw before. Mida oraita, according to Rabbi Yossi, you're never patur min hamaser until someone else takes possession of it, until there's another party that takes possession of it. And when another party takes possession of it, then it leaves your possession, goes into theirs, and it went through hefker in the interim. But over here, you repossessed it. And since you repossessed it, it never went through a third party or never exchanged hands, and therefore it never became hefker. So there, no matter what, it's not going to be patur min hamaser. You're going to be chayav min hamaser. Ah, what about the takanat chachamim that might make it hefker? That was only after 3 days. So here we're talking about on the first day. So the takanat chachamim is not applicable over here. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you'll never come up a case where it would be patur min hamaser. Now the Ran over here notes that even though there's a distinction within Rabbi Yossi's Shita about how you go about acquiring it, an individual who's mafkir something and relinquishes his control, the third party comes and takes it, then it's clearly hefker because the third party now took it and went from the possession of the grantor to the recipient, and it goes directly from one to the other, but it's deemed to be hefker because he opened it up to all parties to take it. On the other hand, when the original owner takes back possession of the object, that can happen in one of two ways. It can either happen because he retracts the gift or the granting of the hefker. So he says, I no longer want it to be hefker. So that's one way to stop it being hefker. Another way for it to stop it being hefker is that the individual goes and repossesses it. He goes and acquires it like any other third party can go and acquire hefker. So that's another way that he could come about. And the truth is over here, according to Rabbi Yossi, that actually could make a difference in this Mishnah. When the guy goes back and repossesses it, how he repossesses it actually makes a difference. If he's retracting his original hefker, then according to Rabbi Yossi, and it was never hefker, and you can never have a case where it'll be patur min hamaser, except after 3 days with the takana chachamim, which is clearly not applicable over here. And that's the question of the Gemara. On the other hand, if the individual, after being mafkirit, went and repossessed it, like any other party, then he's taking possession of it from hefker, just like any other party would take possession of it from hefker. And that's subject to the girsa that we saw in the end of yesterday's daf, through the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, as to whether when this individual repossesses it, does that also have the din of hefker according to Rabbi Yossi? According to the Ran, it did. According to other Rishonim, you leave out that girsa. But most Rishonim believe that the individual repossesses it, if he makes it clear that he's repossessing it, then that is as if he took it from hefker. So what the Ran says over here is when the guy gets up in the morning and starts harvesting his vineyard, then that's not called a repossession unless he articulates it. Minastam, we assume he just retracted his hefker, because that's the natural way that a person would repossess something. If he gives it out as hefker and it doesn't go into another person's possession until they acquire it, then all along he has the ability to retract it. So if he goes in and starts working on it, then that's the most obvious retraction or implicit retraction that he could make. If he articulates that I'm not really retracting the hefker, but I'm rather possessing it from the hefker, then it would work. So that's what the Ron says over here. The fact that he got up in the morning, didn't say a word, and went to work on his field, that shows that he's really retracting the hefker. And if he's retracting the hefker, according to Rabbi Yossi, there's never going to be a case where you're patur min amaser, unless it's after 3 days and the takanat chachamim gets involved over there, and then it would be possible that you'd be patur min amaser in that instance, at least according to some of the shitot. So amar locha. So what Reish Lakish is going to say to you, ki amre ano the Rabbi Yossi. When I explained the braita before, that was in the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Ha, Rabbanani, I agree with you that this braita over here has to be authored by the Rabbanan. The reason it has to be authored by the Rabbanan is because of exactly this problem. You're getting up in the morning and you're patur min amaser when you repossess it. According to Rabbi Yossi, that case doesn't exist. According to Rabbanan, it can't exist at least on a doraita level. That would be the din, because you made a hefker, it was ownerless. And if it's ownerless, then you're patur min amaser. The Chameim then instituted the 3-day window because of the Ramayin, and so on and so forth. But that's all an imposition to Rabbanan. But midoraita, this braita at least can follow the shita of the Chachamim. That's what Reish Lakish says in the end. You made a mistake. You assumed that whoever's the author of that braita has to be the author of this braita. That's not true. The author of the other braita was Rabbi Yossi. The author of this braita is the Rabbanan. And therefore, I don't have a problem reconciling over here. Right? We'll stop over here on tomorrow's daf on Mayim Hayom Adalav. We'll give an alternate answer as how to explain, according to Reish Lakish, this seeming stira that Rabbi Yossi is the author of the previous braita, not the author of this braita. The first answer was Enochanami. That braita is authored by Rabbi Yossi. This braita is authored by Rabbanan. The Gemara will come up with the possibility that Rabbi Yossi is the author of both braitot, but it'll have to do with the nature of hefker, and that'll be the baitema that we deal with on tomorrow's daf on Mem Hei Amud Aleph.